This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of March of the year 2019, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and verse number 31. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. It says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Title of the message, "It was very good." Now, last month, I ended with this statement. The ones who are responsible for all of the mess, all of this mess, are preachers who give people the idea that God is all about forgiveness without repentance. Now, why would I say something like that? Well, because it's true. When you consider the role Christ gave the church and the responsibility that He gave those that He anointed as leaders in it, you will see where our problems stem from. Jesus said this of the church in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. Starting at verse number 14, we're going to read a couple of passages here, a couple of verses. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and hide it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What this means is, like it or not, the world gets its direction from the church. And the direction can either be positive or negative. It all depends on the man in the pulpit. Once again, I emphasize man. Just like everything else God created, when it started out, it was very good. The day of Pentecost brought about the beginning of God's power being embodied in the body of imperfect, sinful mankind by way of the Holy Spirit. Up until that point, the only power that men of God operated in was assistance from the outside. For God to move in to a vessel like man with all of his flaws, he would have to clean him up, most like a housekeeper comes in to clean up a house. This is why they were told to assemble together in fasting and prayer. They all had to be on one accord and righteous or cleaned up in his sight. The Holy Spirit only takes up residence in a vessel that has been cleaned out. If it is not clean, then the Spirit will work on it until it does get clean or move on to one that is. The reason he does this is so that when he demonstrates his power through that vessel, then there will be no mistaking the fact that God is with this person. If you will remember Nicodemus in St. John chapter number 3, he said of Jesus that they knew God was working through him, because no man could do the things that he was doing without that being the case. Here is Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and it was as plain as day to him and others. When the Holy Spirit resides in an individual, that person takes on a whole new personality. The personality of Christ. He looks at the world and all things in it through the eyes of God. And it is because of this transformation that the person becomes the target of ridicule from those around him or her. People can't understand how this person is thinking based on how they used to in the past. He or she used to run with and do the same things as they did. And in some instances, they did worse. Now they are acting as if they just dropped in from Mars or something. All of this because of the new creature that they have become. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse number 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What many, including many Christians, don't understand is the full meaning of this scripture and others like it. It is the fact that in order for them to be in Christ, you must have experienced a complete spiritual change. meaning your old way of doing things has been replaced with a mind that is in tune with God through Jesus Christ to follow His lead in all things. This then means anytime you make a decision to say or do something that is outside of God's direction, you have stepped outside of Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Verse number 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Looking at these two verses, what do you see? I capitalize the parts that I want you to focus on. Verse number 5 says, "God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." This means if a person is saved and engages in things of darkness or sin, they are no longer in Christ, because to do so means you have just contaminated him, talking about Christ, by bringing darkness into him, and that isn't going to fly. Verse number 6 says that if we claim to be his and walk in darkness or sin, we lie and do not the truth. Once again, there it is in black and white. God said it, I didn't. When you resort to a carnal way of thinking and doing, you have left Christ and are walking among the ungodly, which is the only other alternative. Now, I said all that to say this: whether it is you, your family, friends, or whoever, if you are in a place that God has not anointed you to be in, and the sole reason for your being there is to satisfy your own pride and ego, you are not in Christ. You are walking with the devil. This is what is at the core of our problems. People that are in leadership positions in churches all over this country, that have all types of degrees, education, and popularity and seniority, have absolutely no idea as to what they are doing. They are, as Christ put it, the blind leading the blind. Luke chapter 6, verse number 39 says this. He says, "And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" America is going in the ditch because of blind preachers that have put their and their family's welfare above the Word of God. Popularity, influence, and power are what they crave. The thing is, they crave these things from the ungodly and not from God. And if that is what they crave, God will step aside and let you go for it. Of course, you will miss out on the influence, popularity, and power that God can provide for you. And in the long run, you will lose a whole lot more than you gain from your foolishness. Notice this verse that follows the one above, Luke chapter 6, verse number 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Notice the last part. Everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. We are called to be as Christ. Perfect. The perfect that Christ is talking about here and in Matthew chapter 5, number 48, where he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect," sets the goal for all of us to strive for. However, to those with no anointing, no one is perfect, nor can be, so stop trying. And as a result, we should live our lives as best we can, just being kind and loving to one another. This type of mentality simply means no one can ever be perfect. The anointed man or woman of God knows one thing for a fact, and that is, Christ will not ever tell us to do something that we cannot do. And this is a command. It is not up for speculation or discussion. You either abide by it or you don't. People that try to use the nobody's perfect excuse only do it to justify their own sinful behavior, which they derive pleasure from. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin or disobedience. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. People derive satisfaction from pursuing those things that please the flesh, and anyone that takes that pleasure from them is to be ignored, silenced, and if necessary, destroyed. If you think that is an extreme statement, all you have to do is look at what happened to Jesus. He was crucified for it. Then we have the likes of Stephen, the first Christian to be killed for making those that enjoyed what they were doing and detested what he, Stephen, was telling them. Read Acts chapters number 6 and 7. An interesting note is, as Christians, we know that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. But in this passage, just before he died, he said just before he died that he saw Jesus not sitting, but standing. What is the significance of this? Well, people usually stand to show their approval of something that they have just heard or seen, like a good movie, play, concert, or sporting event. So Jesus was so moved at what Stephen was doing that he stood up. I wonder if we could see him in the spiritual realm, how many of us would he even acknowledge, let alone stand up for? It all boils down to how committed to him you really are. Most of us are committed to him in word only, and even at that, it is only parts of his word that we deem politically correct and keeps us from being evil spoken of or worse. As a result, the ungodly take their cues from those of us that fail to stand totally on all of his word and follow after them. That leads the few of us that do stand on it to be looked on as the enemy. And as a result, we get targeted for attack. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 2 that we, the church, are living epistles or letters of or examples being read by or of all men. This is why Jesus said that you are the light of the world, a city that cannot be hid. Like it or not, you are it. And as a result, whatever you do or say is what they are looking at and listening to. This is why I maintain that preachers are the cause of our problems in this nation as well as the world, but especially in the black community. The black community is in literal chaos because the wrath of God is on us because of the misguided directions we have been receiving from supposed to be men and women of God that don't even know him, let alone having been anointed by him. Their faith is not in him, but rather their education and popularity among the ungodly. You can't tell them that they are false preachers, especially if you don't have paperwork from some school or show that you know what you're talking about. The anointing is not something that can be proven by diplomas and such. Anyone can counterfeit those. The anointing is proven by the demonstration of the power of God operating through those that he has chosen for a particular purpose. As the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," but get this last part, "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Verse number 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In any church where the pastor is anointed by God, there will be some type of demonstration of God's presence from the manifestation of the Spirit as outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It could be anything from speaking in tongues to prophecy and up to miracles of healing and even raising the dead. God calls on us to have faith in him, and he will make himself known to those that are his anointed, from the leaders on down to the babes in Christ. He is not going to leave you hanging. Even in your individual lives, he will move things and situations in your personal experiences to let you know that he has your back. Have you ever heard some preachers and Christians say that the dispensation of miracles and such have passed away and God doesn't do that type of thing anymore? Well, someone forgot to tell him that. He raised my son from the dead when I laid hands on him back in 1978. He caused the weather to cooperate with me when I had to work on my car in the street over a week's time, giving me sunshine during the day and allowing it to rain at night when I was finished, because I had prayed for sunshine while others needed rain because of a drought. So when some educated preacher says God doesn't do those types of things anymore, the devil is a liar. Well, that's all for part number 3 of our message, and we're going to move on in to close the message out for next month. So until we get into the next part of the message, this is Evangelist George McTire closing the message out, saying may God bless you and your families real good till we get together again for part number 4 of the message, or any other message that you happen to be interested in, if it has an audio connection. So good day and God bless you.